I'd like to call the Osage Nation Corporations Committee meeting to order, September 20th. Time is 3:07 PM. I'm Dr. Ron Shaw, I'm the Vice Chairman, and at the request of the Chairman, I'll be presiding over this meeting. She has a piece of legislation that is essentially the only legislative item on the agenda, so this will allow her to present and process that with us. So, roll call.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Here.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Present.
Congressman Mason. Congressman Mason.
He will be, he's here, he's just in the other room.
Congressman Supranoff.
Here.
Congressman Walker.
I'm here.
Congressman Shaw.
He'll be right back.
You say Congressman Mason's here, but he's in the other room.
You're so used to calling makers.
I don't think it's merit, I think it's for the adjustment in salaries and whatnot.
That's just scary.
Father, I thank you for this day, and I just ask, Lord, that you would just clear our minds and give us the mindset that we need to be able to put this bill together that's before us today. Help us to do what's in the best interest of this nation as a whole. And I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Your two-page packet is minutes from the 19th.
Move to approve the minutes of September 19th.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the minutes of September 19th as submitted. Is there a discussion? Discussion? Seeing or hearing none, all in favor of the motion say yes.
Yes.
Opposed say no. Minutes are approved. Next item is discussion of fiscal year 2018 appropriations. We hadn't planned on presenting anything on that item. Certainly if there's any specific inquiries, I won't skip over to go right to this ONCA 1799. Are there any specifics, comments, or questions? Otherwise, we'll move on. Okay. Next is consideration of ONCA 1799, an act to provide an appropriation of the executive branch of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2018 in the amount of $61,453,024 and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congressman Whitehorn. She's here again, and she has been the ever-present sponsor for this, so you have the floor.
Yes, what we have on our agenda before us is the comprehensive executive branch appropriation for the operations of our government for all of the entities that fall under his purview. We, as a committee, assigned the sections to each committee of jurisdiction to review. They have then reported them back to this committee for us to make sure to incorporate any amendments that have been made in that committee process and to make sure that it's back intact in one piece and correct before we report it out to the floor of Congress. I was going to ask the clerk, but maybe I'll just ask committee chairs, because you each represent, or the committees present, Congressman Walker, his government ops reported all of their sections back that they reviewed.
Yes, ma'am.
And Congressman Superdahl, have you reported all your sections back?
Yeah, and we had some amendments on that.
Okay. And what committee
Education.
You reported all your sections back?
Yes. Health.
Health. And your government ops, correct?
No, yes. Health.
Health. Who's
Vice
your government
chair
ops? Okay.
Out.
So
I'm in culture.
You're in culture?
Yeah. Aren't you a representative from one of the committees?
Right. But I mean, the reporting out, if you reported out during the report from standing committees, would that have been at the podium this morning?
No, they just reported them back to this committee.
Oh, okay, I got you.
So what committee do you represent, Congressman Shaw? Health?
And we did report out to this committee.
I thought I represented health.
Well,
I understand what you're saying. I'm speaking as the chair of the committee. You're speaking as a representative. I understand.
Right. Well, I'm talking to the representative.
What committee do you represent?
Commerce.
There you go.
So Commerce has reported out. You represent Culture.
Culture.
Culture has reported out. Okay. So I believe that we have all of the section of the bills back in our committee, and I think we should proceed. I'm looking for our clerk to see if she has all of the committee reports here. Maybe we should go through committee at a time and make to look at the report, make sure that we incorporate any amendment or changes to the bill. I think there were very few.
Mr. Chair, the clerk is actually scanning the bill in its current form with the amendments that have been made for review. So,
Do we have a committee substitute then?
It's about 120 some odd pages, so it may take just a few more moments. I believe that's her.
Congressman Walker.
I have a topic that we could discuss, and that's the compliance budget.
And I have a solution
okay.
that I have been in communication with the executive branch about.
Okay.
On my way to this meeting, I called Assistant Chief Redcorn, and he's shopping it around and to see if that will work for the executive. But what happened with the grants department or the grants department, grants and compliance used to be together. In this budget, they're requesting they be separated. Why it wasn't included in 1799 is because they were both drawn out of IDC funds. The new program of compliance made the IDC total exceed the what was collected, and we have the hard numbers to show that. So therefore it wasn't included in this budget until there was some type of a solution. I believe we've got to the point that we have the tribal funding to cover that, but what I suggested and asked of the assistant chief, I'm thinking there's some reason they wanted it in IDC. So what I'm asking is if we could split the revenue, the IDC revenue, between grants and compliance, and then augment each one of those budgets with tribal funds. So that's the solution. I've shopped to the executive. He said he would find an answer and get back with me on that so we can include that back into this budget.
Well, I'd also like to report on behalf of the Health Committee that there was federal funding taken out of the Social Services group of budgets that had to be replaced by tribal funding if you wanted to stay at current levels because of the addition of different entities into the multi-year funding agreement. That at least this was the explanation that the administration negotiated. So I just want you to know that in addition apparently to having additional tribal funds proposed to form a new department or a new function somehow, there's also an addition of $100,000 in tribal funds requested due to movement of federal funds out of the social services function into some other place. So, can I ask a question?
Continue.
So, what's the total, if anyone knows, and can we find out for those kinds of things that happen? So, $150,000 of additional tribal funding in what used to be a federally funded program or department, and now whatever that amount of funding is for a proposed new department, not just jobs in the department, but an entirely new function?
Well, the only answer I have or I can speak to is the questions that I've asked about the grants and compliance. And it's my understanding from talking to one of the directors that the money that was in a combined budget for the two has been equally divided between the two. I don't believe the review has been done in comparison to last year's budget to see if that amount has inflated in operations or any of the lines, but that was the explanation I was given.
Okay. So then, why isn't there sufficient indirect cost?
I don't have the answer to that.
Cover that if they are, if it's just a split.
I don't have the answer to that question.
Well, who do we look to get the answer to that question?
Congressman Mason,
your questions and we not knowing those answers, are we at a standstill then as far as any kind of motion movement? So we don't have dollars and cents.
Congressman Whiteman.
Well, I expect to get the answers while we're meeting today, is my expectation. We have a lot of other work to do on these sections that have come back from committee to review, and I believe that in the end of our review that hopefully we'll have some answers on the compliance. I don't know that we'll actually have the financial or the money dollar answers. I don't know who we need to ask that question of.
Well, maybe can we take a running list of questions? I mean, isn't that how they like to have us do it? Send them over there to them and find out? I mean, who's speaking broadly on, okay, this year we did these things and this is how it we cut revenue? Because I also have one other example, which is in the course of listening to some of the meetings, it was said that there was cuts to federal positions, which has always been our practice, and certainly the treasurer in the past has told us that if, I wish they were up here, that if the position goes away from federal funding, then the position goes away. But we were told more than once that, well, there was no federal funding, so we just moved it to tribal. So that would be the other question. How many of those are there, and why?
Chairman.
Congressman Whiteman.
Congressman Edwards, I think those questions are valid, but really I thought that was the work of committee when they were reviewing those in committee. I'm not saying you don't deserve an answer or you shouldn't have an answer to that question, but I don't have that answer. And if we could maybe get the director of operation and deputy director of operation to come back and be at the table, I guess somebody could give them a call and see if they're available to come.
Well, that would be my response, is the people that were giving us a presentation about their department don't know why. For example, social services said, I don't know. In the years past, we were part of the multi-year funding agreement, and it covered our entire department. You all remember this yesterday, and this year we were told you're limited to this amount of federal funding, so to keep those services at the same level, we're having to utilize tribal funding. So she doesn't know. So somebody upstream is making that decision. That's what I'm saying. Where do we get that input? I mean, if the idea is that whatever comes, if, and this is, I think some people believe this, whatever comes over, we're just going to appropriate it. That's not a check and balance. That's a pass-through. So I have to believe that there's still a couple of steps left, which is to talk about, you know, some of these things that I heard. I don't know, but, I mean, other people can speak for the committee. I'm just imparting what I heard in health and social services. So I'd like to get some policy discussion in those areas.
I'm told that Ms. Rebar and Mr. Johnson are on their way. Seems like yesterday, Ms. Bradford was pretty knowledgeable about it. But she was here. I take it she didn't give a complete enough answer yesterday.
Well, I think she said, this is what grant compliance is, and this is why we put things in, this is why we prepare a budget like this that goes to the federal agency. But I never heard her say, we decided that we were going to, and I asked her who would make those decisions regarding multi-year funding agreement changes. And I think she's had an answer, but I don't remember what it was. But that's who I would want to talk to and say, A, why was this decision made? And B, how does the Congress not have a seat at the table when those decisions are being made? Because then we are now forced to say, okay, we're going to increase tribal spending to create new departments when we're $1 million or more short. And we've now had to go ask the gaming enterprise to modify their distribution to us in order to meet those challenges.
As I mentioned, the assistant principal chief notified me that Ms. Rebar and Mr. Johnson are here. They were here yesterday. I don't know if they'll be able to answer questions any better today. I should say that I know they're going to say that they were here yesterday. It puts us in a position, if we were to not approve those tribal funds, of cutting some direct services, perhaps in the social services program. So kind of got us over a barrel to a certain group out saying, no, we weren't involved in the decision. We're not approving this tribal. You should not taking the federal funding out of those positions. And maybe it's not as direct as it sounds, but my colleague's trying to get some answers that reassure us that perhaps there were no other options available. But we don't know that for sure. Congressman.
I also want to explore why the congressional salaries are not included in the indirect cost pool again this year, and some new entities are covered by indirect costs, and perhaps have increases in their budgets because of that. So that's another question.
Ms. Rebar, I know you just came in and came down from the Hill at Mr. Johnson, but we've got an active question on the table here, and I think you were summoned to help us. And Congressman Edwards, if you could, wouldn't mind rephrasing, I'll make another stab at it.
Okay, so the first question that came, a broad policy question that came out of Health and Social Services that I know about, is that there was some federal funding that was shifted into other areas, and as a result has caused the need for approximately 150,000, am I, is that the right number, in tribal funding to cover what was formerly covered by federal funding. Specifically was the Social Services Department.
Ma'am, are you talking about the MIFA and why right. We went back to, why we went to having departments or programs use the money that is allocated to them in the MIFA? Is that the question?
That's the question.
Okay.
Well, that's what they, I guess that's right.
Can you be specific on which program that helped me?
Social services.
I know, but which program?
Well, I would have to pull the section up.
Social services tribal.
But it was
that's the only budget.
It was a budget that showed a $300,000 decrease in federal funding, and then an increase of $300,000 in tribal funding.
Okay.
That
knew 140 or 150 was off, that increase was offset in another budget with the entire amount.
That's why I said approximately 150.
So what happened, and I wish Candy were here to explain, but in her office, what we've tried to do, what we have done this year, as opposed to prior years, now we have an officer in self-governance, Candy Thomas. What we did this year was reconcile these programs back to the MIFA and the exact amount that they've been receiving based off the negotiations. That caused a decrease in social services because they were putting in more dollars in their federal budget than they were actually receiving. And that was caused by one-time funding coming in from different unallotted funds from the feds. What happened was it was being carried over year by year when it was just one-time funding. So at the end of the year, as you guys know, sometimes there's money available and they just pass it out to different tribes. What happened on our end was that the director in the accounting office and our office was allowing it to go from year to year when it shouldn't have been because it was just one-time funding. What Candy has done is went through every budget under self-governance and to make sure that those one-time funding amounts were backed out because they're not always promised. It's not going to happen every year. And that's the reason for the social services increase in tribal and decrease in federal.
Continue.
Does that make sense?
Well, it does. But what you're telling me is instead of using one-time funding for an activity, that if that one-time funding wasn't there, the activity wouldn't occur, it's somehow morphed into something that's needed regardless of whether the one-time funding is there or not. Otherwise, we wouldn't have seen that increase in the tribal funds.
Well, it depends. When they send out the one-time funding, they'll designate what it's for. And sometimes it's just for general operation, just like whatever it is that you've been doing to operate your program. Sometimes you'll get one-time funding that is specific, but that wasn't the case in social services.
So it was incorporated somehow into a budget that would require then it be paid out in tribal funds, or else some service was going to be lost?
Yes, so if you say...
Or would it be an administrative thing that you're just not going to travel this much this year?
Well, so for instance, the best example I could say is the MIFA may say they get $50,000, and then at some time during the year, they may notify the tribe and say, look, we're reallotting funds of another $50,000. So it makes her budget at the end of the year $100,000. What was happening was we were budgeting the $100,000 the next year, which we should have just done $50,000. And that's what Candy has ensured with all the budgets underneath the MIFA this year.
So what that means is, absent budgeting for $50,000 now, going forward, we're always going to have $150,000 additional expenditure in tribal funds?
Well, specific to social services, you know, Ms. Collins has really cut her budget has decreased, and she's still providing the service. She's actually lost two of her two positions, and so she's really managing her budget fiscally, and she's following what's actually allocated on the MIFA, as it should be in the past. And Candy's ensuring of that. For example, 477 just got notification this last week that we may be getting reallotted funds. They haven't decided when or how much. And so that's going to be coming. We get this all throughout the year on federal grants.
All right. A couple more questions. When was the last time that the multi-year funding agreement was renegotiated?
I want to say they met
2 years ago.
This was it this month? Yes. Last month? I want to say it was August or September. Dr. Reinfeld came down and we did negotiations.
And I've heard Dr. Reinfeld say before that the governing body that they want to negotiate with, or that is required to be negotiated with is the Osage Nation Congress. Did we have a seat at the table, or were we invited, or was there anybody that represented the Congress there?
Oh, I don't want to speak on behalf of the self-governance office.
Well, nobody seems to want to say why Congress is not included in, because my point, I think, rightfully is that those negotiations impact our appropriations. And so when we have no seat at the table, we have no knowledge of what's going on, and we have no ability to come and bring that information back, it impacts us, and we're blindsided when we get here in September, and now all of a sudden, and I don't think that's the intent of...
That's the case with all federal grants. You would hope that you're going to get the same thing you got the prior year, but that's not always the case due to, you know, the new President Trump. I mean, we never know. When we take federal grants, that's just part of the risk that we take.
I understand, but the multi-year funding agreement is a tribally negotiated government-to-government relationship, isn't it?
Yes, so are the grants. The individual grants. I mean, the MIFA is just the self-governance programs that we have the ability to work with.
Okay, one more question. The indirect cost pool, this is another question. This is question number two. The indirect cost, you want to speak on that, what we were talking about, indirect costs?
Sure. Assistant Chief Red Eagle and I spoke just real quickly on my way down here.
Red Corn,
why do I keep doing that?
I don't.
My apologies. I know your name.
It's okay.
It's on the back of your car. So we spoke on the way down here, and the IDC cost pool, what we collect through the budgets, the number of collection to the number of requested appropriations was off by about $300,000. And within that, the appropriation request was a new program, which was compliance, which used to be part of the grants department. They have split those, and they were both requesting total IDC funding. Compliance, since it was a new program, was not included in this budget because it was off. I made executive aware of that. We've been wondering how we're going to get to a solution, especially with the appropriated, the revenue projections. So my solution to the problem would be, and I asked Assistant Chief if this might work for them, would be to what grants has in their IDC revenue, that we would split that revenue, IDC, between compliance and grants, and then augment the rest of the budget with tribal funds, if that would work in order to put that back, the compliance back into 1799. I don't have an answer to that yet, and I'm expecting one or needing one, if that will work for executive for it to be handled in that way.
Assistant Principal Chief.
Thank you. Well, try to keep my eyes up to the horizon, which means these two folks and those two folks had everything to do with how the budget was put together. So I'm going to defer the answer to them. And in theory, I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I understand what you're suggesting. And it sounds fine to me. But I'm going to I'd like to hear from the other folks who may have the treasurers here, the controllers mm-hmm. here. Mr. Johnson, Ms. Reward, and what they may have to say about it. I just want to caution one thing. I don't want to get off the ditch here. That I don't want to conflate who attends a MIPA negotiation with how the administration spends those MIPA funds during the year to, you know, shore up things wherever they may be needed and affords the executive whatever flexibility the MIFA allows to move some of this money around. I hope we aren't punished by deciding to follow the MIFA more closely. That's what I'm hearing that we're doing, that we're paying very close attention to the MIFA, and we're trying not to have it cross the lines. Everybody, I understand that once I kind of knew this in the back of my head, and I'm sorry I didn't, couldn't call it, but Jody's exactly right. There was a strict edict that went out from us in order to get the budget down, that you're going to have to survive on the funds that you get from the MIFA. And that's the starting point. Is that a correct way to portray
it?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
There was a whole list of people here who might have some input related to the compliance and the indirect cost pool. Does anyone have any input into that? I saw Ms. Bradford got here just a short time ago. Ms. Rebar, do you have any input onto that? The principal chief was deferring to you for any comments on that.
Would it be possible that we speak with the treasurer and the controller really quick before we answer? Because they may have some information that we don't have right now about projected revenue. Is that okay?
I think we'd need to recess probably if we're going to do that.
Can I?
One more question and I'll entertain a motion to recess.
So, Is the indirect cost pool what's been requested for the indirect cost pool, is that going to be a strict adherence, same kind of idea that what we put in the indirect cost pool agreement is what we're going to follow?
I don't understand the question. Yes, I mean, as an example, IT is paid out of indirect costs.
I know. When we submitted our proposal or our agreement about indirect costs and our composition of that, are we following that strictly to the letter too?
Yeah.
It's being renegotiated for 2018 though, so it's looking like the indirect cost rate is going to increase.
Well, the reason I ask is because we continually as Congress say in the indirect cost agreement, it says that congressional salaries will be included as part of that indirect cost. And I think in several instances, I can think of us asking to be included in that pool because it's what we're saying that we're going to do. And when it comes time to request an amount for Congress to be put into the indirect cost pool, it doesn't happen. And Cuggy can speak to that more.
Well, Sam, I'd like to ask.
Congressman Supernov, go ahead.
My understanding is that there wasn't a negotiated indirect cost rate this year. They simply carried over the last indirect cost agreement because of the audit was so late. So we didn't really negotiate a new indirect cost rate this year, did we?
Yeah, we didn't do them every year.
Huh?
We do them every year.
I thought you told me that they simply carried over the year before because they couldn't negotiate a rate because we didn't have the audit.
No, we've always had one. Well, same guy does it.
Huh?
The same guy does it every year.
Isn't? I know, but the rate is the same this year as it was last year, isn't it?
No, it's just a fraction of a difference. They were both 19 point something. He thinks this year it's going to be a little bit more than that, maybe even 20.
Well, that's not what I understood earlier, because I brought this up in June, I think.
Right.
And anyway, that's not what I remember.
So, Mr. Treasurer, is that usually announced to us in some sort of official letter? Is that usually communicated to the nation by some letter by the National Business Center? Is that how we find out what our indirect cost rate is?
Yeah, he's working on it right now.
Okay.
We just gave him the audit.
Oh, okay. Has to wait
on
the audit.
So he's working on one right now, and he had one for the year before as well. I'll get all that for you if you'd like for it.
Maybe it would help satisfy Congressman Supernov. Congresswoman Edwards?
So what is keeping Congress from being given an amount that would include it in the indirect cost pool?
What would keep Congress from what?
From being allocated an amount to include in its budget out of the indirect cost pool.
You probably use the same one the nation does, I'm guessing. Or I don't know why you wouldn't.
So we just put that number in there.
Right.
Assistant Principal Chief.
I'd like Penny to speak to that. I think she can show a lot of variables involved in that.
Could you go ahead and take the podium since our table's full? Which question are you answering?
I just wanted to make a comment on the calculation of indirect cost funds and indirect costs. The more individuals that we add into the indirect cost pool as far as administrative services are, that drives up our indirect cost rate. You have a lot of federal programs that have a cap on how much money you can charge for indirect costs. Some of those indirect cost caps may be 10% and maybe 15%. So if we have an indirect cost rate of, say, 19.53, I believe it is, Sam, then we are going to have a shortfall on what we can claim and recover for indirect cost. So that may be one of the reasons, or I know for a fact that's one of the reasons why we potentially will have a shortfall or have a shortfall for this year for the overall pool. I just wanted to make that note.
Okay, go ahead and do we still need a recess?
I wanted to ask one more question.
What are we recessing for?
Let's go ahead and entertain a motion for a 5-minute recess.
What?
If not, we'll continue on.
I don't understand why we need a recess.
Well, they wanted to confer with the treasurer and Ms. Bradford to continue answering our questions.
Okay.
The committee does not want to do that, but no one make a motion to recess.
Well, can I just ask, if they're going to recess, can I just ask that they consider,
yes,
given apparently a mistake that was made, in that there's $300,000 more requested in appropriation than is available in funding, what would be the proposal of the executive branch to get those numbers in line? So, in other words, how would you reduce those budgets by $300,000 to get them to balance?
Okay. Yes. Chair, entertain the motion to recess. Or you want to answer now?
No, they.
So moved.
Second.
All right, motion made and seconded. All in favor say yes.
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 Okay, we're recessed.
How long have we known about this problem?
I think.
Since the Thursday before